Good evening, everyone. It's a blessing to be able to worship God with you all. If you would, at this time, grab your Bible and turn over to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10 will be our lesson tonight. And what we're going to discuss is pretty simple. In fact, our entire thought tonight is the idea of simplifying big, heavy, burdensome areas. And this might feel a little like simple already, but I'm going to ask you a question. What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be a Christian? That's one of those, like, it's not loaded, but I feel like it's sort of become so. If you look at the world around and maybe the different denominations, belief systems out there, interpretations of Scripture, the amount of things one ought to believe, to do, to participate in, kind of differs between each religious group, and even within our own group, we might have different answers. But you add to that, and again, I don't like weaponizing something that's a tragedy, but it's always a bad thing to go scrolling on comments on social media, but I've started to see that even this idea has become pretty loaded with tragedies in America. To see different people who kind of claim a version of Christ, and then maybe they're left-leaning. All of a sudden, the values that should matter to Christianity really start looking like a very specific ideology and way of life. But if you're very strong right-leaning, all of a sudden Christianity is in following Christ, the necessary beliefs really start looking like they go with that way of life. That's just to say this, is just I've started to see how this idea of being a Christian and living a Christian walk really becomes compacted with a lot of beliefs, a lot of opinions, not baggage per se, but I guess that's kind of part with it. It reminded me of this whenever I started Bible school, and I was pretty young, and I'm a kind of non-confrontational person anyways. But a lot of the guys in our group were learning a lot of important truths from Scripture. And it was almost as if our instructors knew this was a combative, argumentative group of individuals. And we were about getting ready to go on what is called our campaign, which was kind of a mission trip. We would go out to different parts of the country. We would go for a week, and each church that we would stay at would give us a different list of things to do. It could range from, like, working on the grounds to preaching to, in this case, going out to areas that involved universities and talking to some of the individuals one-on-one. And, you know, so being a group and being a school that was very pro, like, hey, you need to defend your faith, you need to have good doctrine as is in accordance with Scripture. There was also this understanding of this, which is like it was a very big, I don't know, there was a very big possibility that what we would prioritize was what do we believe and how can we make that belief be the most important thing that someone gets, which isn't a bad thing. What we believe is intrinsic to who we are and to the lives we live. But I remember them having this gentleman come in, and before we went, our first day, he sat us down. He said, what you believe is very essential, and what you teach is essential to being a minister. But he said, let's make this really simple. So what we're going to do tonight is keep this really simple. What does it mean to be a Christian? Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. This was the passage that was read to me all those years ago, and I'm going to read to you now. Verse 24. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. That's pretty small. That's pretty simple. But I really liked that, like, overwhelming, like, I don't know, responsibility of this, as well as the simplified, almost freeing truth. What does it mean to be a Christian? Again, you're ready for the most novel thing you've ever heard. It is enough to be like Jesus. Not that truth, not that doctrine, not that belief isn't an important part of who we are and the way that our lives and our communities and the church functions, but it is important to understand this. What does it mean for me to be a Christian, to be like Jesus? And I like what he says is it is enough. The word for enough is the same word as content It's a satisfaction. Like, it is like the appropriate, adequate, just the right amount of an ingredient. That is sufficient. In fact, the word is used in from Paul when he says that he is dealing with this thorn in the flesh, and he's wanting God to take it from him, and he pleads for it. And he says that is the grace of Jesus that is sufficient. It is adequate and necessary for, like, the demands that are met. It is simply enough. And you can be content with this simple, straightforward, and direct understanding of what it means to be a Christian. It is enough to be like Jesus. It is enough, it is good, it is adequate, and it is appropriate. Here's what I want us to look at. I want us to look at a few different things that I believe that it is enough in experience, or it is enough to be like Jesus in. And first off is this, is it is enough to be like Jesus in our experiences. Let's read the rest of the passage. In verse 25, it says, "If they had called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of the household?" And what Jesus is saying here in this context is this: you shall be persecuted. He looks at his followers here, and he's sending them out for an important responsibility. And he says, in the same way I was accused, in the same way I cast out demons but was still accused of bringing said demons here, he says, you will suffer in similar ways that I will suffer. Now, I found this quote that I think is important to distinguish ourselves from in all of this. But it says this: how much more implies how much more certain, not to a greater extent. Meaning this, we're not there out to pursue, like, being persecuted per se, but we need to understand this. Promises of exemption from persecution offer a false hope. It's important for us to understand that in all of this, that it's more than just an ideology or an instructor of sorts, by all means, maybe you could get away with not being grouped with someone who's just a teacher. But in all of this, it says it is enough for you to be like the master. The master is someone who is your Lord, someone who controls and dictates you, someone who tells you where to go and who to be. And so this is an important truth. It is fair and it is adequate, and it is enough that we, as children of God, should expect to endure, if only partially, what our Savior and Lord and teacher did for us. That we will not fully belong in the world here when we belong to him. But he says, to some degree, that's okay. It's enough. But the second way it's enough for us to be like Jesus is in our behavior. Here's the good definition for what this looks like. One, being a disciple or a follower of someone is one who is rather constantly associated with someone with a reputation or a particular set of views, discipline, or adherent. To be a disciple in many ways is imitation. You learn a way of life, a set of rules, of values and pathways, and you mimic them in your own life. If you would turn at this time to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, near the end of the passage. Luke chapter 6 kind of acts as almost a summary of sorts of the Sermon on the Mount. There's a lot of teachings, but within this we see that there's, like, this important truth that's like what you hold to and what you prioritize is really going to be, I don't know, the theme that shows what you value, what you hold to, and whose you are. I want us to notice here in verse 39 and 40. He also told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. And I just want us to see that in this context, that this passage is talking about ultimately what you hold to, how you view the world, and what you choose to do, and how you choose to live. The man or woman who looks with intent at his face in a mirror, as James 1 would read, and yet doesn't see the standard or light of Christ, must ask himself, who do I belong to? Whose student am I? And whose servant am I? 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 says, would say that as sons and daughters of God, we are a people of his possession, made that way to show his glorious light, not ours, not the world around us, not an ideology or a value system that can be found in this world, but one that belongs to him. Recently, this was prompted by Mike Weiner, is a kind of a pretty strong, he's not Church of Christ, but he's a pretty strong conservative teacher online. And he brought this up. He points out that a lot of people compile Christianity into this umbrella of, as long as you believe these things, that's sufficient. Like, you're part of the club, you're part of the group, you're part of the, I don't know, association to some degree. But he goes on to say this, instead it is about your devotion to your Lord and your God that others will see who you believe. You can have the right opinions, you can have the right values, but what does your behavior, your life exemplify? That is it. It is an appropriate and fair to demand the student to be like the teacher and the servant his master. It is enough. The third thing is this is pretty straightforward, but is also, it is enough to have the same priorities and the same values as your master, as your servant, as your king. In similar fashion, is what we value and make what matters the most in our life the same things that our master values the most. What do my actions, thoughts, and dreams state are my priority? And do they mimic Jesus in our lives? I like the last comparison in Matthew, because what he says is it's like being in the same household as the master. The idea of being in the master to the members of the households brings this level of, we all live together, we all work together. We may have different functions here, different strengths, but ultimately we answer to one. And is his direction, his mind, and his priority the things that give us value and worth and essential, I don't know, lifeblood in who we are and where we live right now? The last one I have is this. It's pretty simple and straightforward, but it's enough to have the same destination, to have the same place we're going, because that's really what he tells us that matters the most. In John 14, verse 3, he says, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." So it's pretty simple, but I want us to understand this truth, that what does it mean to be a Christian? To simply be like Jesus. While this passage and mentality might slightly be removed from the context we were dealing with, more than anything, this passage guarantees a binding together, and areas far more significant than just the small things. How much more so for the big ones? We may have different challenges of what we believe in this world, but if we choose to follow Jesus and just his word, that's sufficient. That's enough. That is why one of those things that I think that we try to do nobly within the Church of Christ is, tradition is great, history is essential, different experiences have a factor, I suppose, but at the end of the day, it is enough to say, I choose to follow Jesus, and I choose to follow what he says. And when we keep it with that, that at the end of the day is all we truly need. C.S. Lewis put it this way, and it's going to be a pretty big quote, but I think it's pretty important. Put right out of your head the idea that these are only fancy ways of saying that Christians are to read what Christ said and to try to carry it out, as a man may read what Plato or Marx said and try to carry it out. They mean something much more than that. They mean that in a real person, the real person, Christ, here and now, in the very room where you are saying your prayers, is doing things to you. It is not a question of a good man who died 2,000 years ago. It is a living man, still as much a man as you, and still as much God as he was when he created the world, really coming and interfering with your very self, killing the old natural self in you and replacing it with the kind of self he has. At first, only for moments, then for longer periods. Finally, if all goes well, turning you permanently into a different sort of thing, into a new little Christ. A being which in its own small way has the same kind of life as God, which shares in his power, joy, knowledge, and eternity. It's a lot more demanding, but at the same time, a lot more freeing to understand this. You know someone by their fruits. You will sense it in their being. I can ask myself this, not do I stand for the Christian values or how I perceive Jesus' values to be, but in this sense, do I choose to be like Jesus each day? It is through that challenging but specific quality that we can know if our view of Christianity is enough or not. It is enough to be like Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18 says this, and describing how the Spirit opens up to the hearts of those who have struggled to see him in the past, to see Jesus before. He says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. In verse 18, and we know with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. 1 Matthew chapter 10 is called the Little Commission, which means it's the time when people were sent out. The first early disciples of Jesus were sent out. And it was meant to reflect our own being sent out in Matthew chapter 28. And it was getting them ready for us to see what it looks like, that there's a lot of hostility in this world, that there's a lot of uncertainty, that there's sometimes fear of going out into it. And what Jesus is really trying to do is to connect them to what matters the most. He's giving them courage, he's giving them promise, but he's also giving them a very specific set of directions. Be like me, value me, show me, and that will be enough. I hope that that is something that is something that we can show to the world, something that we can communicate to those who are around us, but then something that we can just inhabit ourselves, that I need to grow in my understanding of God and what he's called for me to be. But at the end of the day, my faith is not my set of beliefs, though it's important. It is not my opinions of the world, though that's factored into our core belief of God. It comes down to the simple truth that then spreads into every other area and into every other belief that we have. Am I choosing to be like Jesus? If there's a need you have now, please come forward together as we stand, together as we sing.